Now let's talk about building your team. And when I speak about building your team as it relates to this conversation, it's not so much your mentors, your potential sponsors to help you do a deal, or partners. It's really outside resources. And the first one I want to talk about is commercial real estate brokers. Guys, value these relationships, seek out these relationships, take very good care of these relationships, because they can make you a ton of money, okay? And you know, and I'm going to get into a whole much more detail about that, but you want brokers that basically work real estate full-time, multifamily real estate full-time. That's what you want. You want people that brokers that focus on multifamily real estate and the type of property that you're interested in. So once you figure out what your investment criteria is, size-wise, area-wise, that's when you seek out a broker. Now, I will tell you right now, and I'll get into more detail in one of the other modules, and that is the market's hot right now. So any brokers that are really doing well, kicking butt, probably won't give you, if you're new, the time of day, okay? And that's okay. And what you'll find out is that real estate brokers don't get paid unless a property closes. And everybody that's done it, every broker that's done it for a while has been burned. And by burned, I mean they've had a newbie come in, think they want a property, tie it up for a couple of months, only not to be able to close, or not follow through. And that's a waste of people's time. It ruins the relationship between the broker and the seller. So until you've proven yourself, the big hitters aren't going to take you seriously. But there are always new brokers that you can approach. And frankly, you can find a new broker in a market that you know you're going to do a lot of business in and you can grow together. Okay? It's very common. And again, I'm going to go into this in a lot more detail, but yeah, the youngest and most motivated, they'll help you. And if the market slows down, then you can pretty much get everybody's attention. But when it's hot, you know, and it's understandable. So don't get discouraged if, you know, you reach out to somebody and they don't call you back, or, you know, they don't send you deals. But we're going to get into that in a lot more detail. But you want brokers on your team in any market that you're interested in, okay? And again, it'll be tough to gain their respect. Now, I recommend you go to LoopNet, loopnet.com. And you look up the type of properties that you think you're going to be interested in, and you see who's listing most of them. And that's who you call and see if you can get in with them. Buy them lunch. Go take them, have, you know, give them a, bring them a cup of coffee, or go have a cup of coffee with them. Go have a beer with them, whatever. Get to know them. Build a relationship. And I'm going to teach you how to track them and build that relationship in another module. And I teach you some systems, but very, very important relationship. And remember, one good broker can make you wealthy, and I don't say that lightly, okay? They can, because you know, typically in a real estate transaction, there's a broker that lists the property, and there's typically a broker that sells the property. Now, if you're the broker that lists the property and you actually end up selling it, you get double the commission. So you can see the benefit to selling your own listings, okay? And so if a broker very often will hold a listing in their pocket, and they call a pocket listing, and they will approach the people that they know that have the ability to close and try to get them to write an offer first, so they get both sides of the transaction. And I recommend that you use a broker that sends you an off-market deal. They're called off-market. It hasn't hit LoopNet yet, or it hasn't gone into the MLS system, so nobody knows about it except the people that broker contacted. And I will tell you, if a broker contacts you with one of those, you let him write the offer. You don't bring in somebody else that you've developed a relationship with, because what's the benefit to them if someone else writes the sales contract? So, but anyway, we're going to go into a lot more detail about that later, but value those relationships. Then you need a good real estate attorney. And I would recommend that you get a real estate attorney that specializes in commercial real estate, ideally multifamily. I even recommend that you get somebody that's litigated real estate in the past, because that'll give them more knowledge base, and they're going to be somebody that's very good with contracts. Guys, don't ever write your own real estate contracts, okay? I've been in the business 40 years, and I don't write my own contracts when it comes to commercial real estate. I can write single family houses, no problem. But commercial real estate, you let a real estate attorney write the contract every time, okay? Please don't scrimp on that one, because it will be to your peril. And ideally, find one that owns their own real estate themselves, because then they understand what it's like to be an investor. They understand what, you know, commercial real estate ownership is all about. So, real estate attorney, you need one on your team. You can start making phone calls. Now, I will tell you the best way to find some of these people for your team is to find a great broker and ask them for referrals. Who do you know that's a great real estate attorney? Then we'll go into the next one. Commercial lender. Who's loaning money right now? Who do you know? Can you give me an introduction? All of these people can give you referrals to the other team members, but you want the ones that are doing a lot of business for that. So you definitely want, by the way, I'm not saying that these guys that are doing a lot of business won't talk to you. They just probably won't send you off-market deals. So you can still talk to them and just say, listen, I'm new and I know you probably aren't going to give me the time of day today, but maybe you could at least refer me to a good attorney or a good lender. And I'd like to at least start the relationship with you. And once I've proven myself, then maybe we can do business. And that's a real honest way to start that broker relationship, okay? But anyway, lenders. You want to create relationships with lenders. Remember the example I gave you earlier about the kid that bought that property $5,000 down because they had a relationship with his bank, and they allowed the seller to carry a second because the property was strong enough and they knew this kid. That's a home run relationship, guys. And so you want to develop relationships with your local banks. If there's a regional or local bank that you find out does commercial lending in a market that you're interested in, start open an account there. They love to have banking relationships with their customers. So open an account there, even if you just put a little bit of money in there, but then you've got a relationship started. Take them to lunch. They love it when a customer or client takes them to lunch. Do it. Have a cup of coffee with them. Get to know them. And I will tell you, the other reason that this banking relationships are so potentially lucrative, not just the fact that they help you get financing or maybe you'll be able to structure a creative deal, but at some point you might be their go-to guy when they have a problem loan and you can pick up fantastic deals. I've purchased deals where the banks have financed them or gotten fantastic purchase prices because I had a relationship and they came to me as a problem solver, okay? So very important relationships. Now, if you're going to do the smaller complexes, you're going to want local and regional banks, okay? So, you probably don't want the Bank of America's of the world because they're just too big to deal with. You want the local, smaller ones. They're typically easier to deal with. That's my personal experience. Other members that you're going to want on your team, you're going to want a bookkeeper, okay? And what's great is, and I was actually going to get into this business, there are virtual bookkeepers out there. And you can hire someone for a few hours a month. It's really typically all you need as you're getting started, even if you've got 40 to 100 units. You can outsource the bookkeeping, and it's very reasonable. And I recommend you do that. And there are a lot of reputable companies that, check them out. Certainly you could hire your own. I had my own for, 40 years. I have one now. But just getting started, outsource it. No problem. You're going to need an accountant, okay? And you're going to want an accountant or CPA that is familiar with cost segregation. Now, just remember that. We're going to get into that in great detail, but I'll just tell you high level. It's basically your ability to accelerate the depreciation on a property, the tax benefits of a property, so that you can really massively front load the tax write-offs when you buy a property, okay? And basically it involves segregating all the different components of a property, the windows, the electrical, the plumbing, the everything. I mean, every piece of a property gets separated into its natural lifespan or expected economic lifespan. And again, you greatly accelerate depreciation. I'm going to leave it at that because I'm going to spend a lot more time on it later. But you want an accountant that's familiar with cost segregation. So remember that. You need a good insurance agent or broker. Every property has to have insurance. So again, get referrals from the brokers or the real estate attorney for brokers that have good insurance products, reasonably priced. Shop them. You're going to want to shop them, but you're going to want to develop a relationship. At some point, you get big enough, like I got, you can have global blanket policies that are considerably less than individual policies per property. Now, property management company. Again, those of you that are new, I recommend developing a relationship with a property management company and utilizing them initially, okay? You may want to utilize them long-term. I personally don't, but you could. But you'll learn the business when you do, okay? And that's very, very important. And frankly, these relationships, these property management relationships, I know lots of heavy-duty investors, long-term successful investors that get referrals of deals from their property management company. So that's an argument for utilizing property management companies. But we're going to go into this again in more detail. You have to manage the property management company. But important relationship to have when you get started so you understand the business, shop them. You want to find property management companies that deal in the properties that you're interested in. You don't want a giant company that manages 300-400 unit complexes, unless that's what you're going to go for right away. You want, you know, more of a mid-sized company. You don't want a real small one either, because they really many times don't have their act together. You want a mid-sized company with several employees, and shop them. And I'm going to go through all the questions you have to ask them in another module, so don't sweat that yet. Before we start module 4, I want to remind you to leave your comments and your questions below. We want to help you in any way that we can. I also want to share something with you that's very important. As you move forward on your multifamily investing journey, who you surround yourself with is going to be critical. You may actually have to change your peer group, or at the very least add people to it. I did a clip on the power of your peer group that I want to share with you before you start module 4. The quality of your life is a direct reflection of the expectations of your peer group. I know you've heard it said, you're the sum total of the 5 people you spend the most time with. You know, you've heard these things. I want to hammer it home with you guys. You know, when it comes to both your personal life and your professional life, your peer group has a huge impact on your life. Your peers influence who you socialize with. You know, the expectations you do or don't have for yourself, and the filter you use to consider all your life's decisions. If you want to make more money, find a peer group that's making more money. If you want to run a marathon, spend time with marathon runners. If you want to save the world, find people who want the same thing. Most people don't put any thought or effort into choosing a peer group. That's because, you know, when you're in school, your peer group consists of your classmates, you know, and those involved in maybe some of the same sports that you're in. As you get out into the working world, your coworkers become your peer group because you see them every day, you know, you can't help it. The problem is most people stop there. What many don't realize is that once you get out of school, you have lots of choices to deliberately choose the kind of peers you want to associate with. You know, you've heard of the 80-20 rule. Deciding your peer group is one of those 20% decisions that get you 80% of the growth and progress. Most people don't take the time and energy to proactively choose their peers. They just settle for the peer group that happens to be the most convenient. Or even worse, if you want to be miserable in life, you know, fall into a peer group whose values aren't the same as yours, or even worse than that, in conflict with yours. In your personal life, give some thought as to what you want for your future. You know, what's your mission? What's your vision? What's your purpose in life? You know, if you like something that makes you happy, for example, you know, boating, I love boating, you know, or fishing, or a car, particular car or hobby, find other people that like the same thing. Join a group of people that all love the same thing you do. That's going to bring you more happiness in your life. The same is true for your professional life. Seek out, meet, and develop relationships with people that share the same professional interests you have. This opens you up to more knowledge, new perspectives, new ideas, new opportunities. If you're interested in real estate, go to your local real estate investment club meetings. You know, if you're really ambitious, and you know, you can start your own meeting. If you're interested in entrepreneurship or starting your own business, go on Meetup. It's a great platform to make that, you know, make that happen and find those groups, start your own groups, whatever. You know, the first few years of your career depends on how well you do in school, what skills you learn. The rest of your life is hugely impacted by who you know and who knows you. Now, if you haven't devoted energy to building your personal and business relationships with people who want the same things you do, do it now. Now, here's another lesson. You want to engage with people that are even more knowledgeable than you. You know, let's say you're playing tennis. You're playing somebody that's at least 50% better than you. You know, as you play, that stronger opponent is going to raise your level of play. If you play someone that's not as good as you, not only do you not advance yourself, you can actually learn to play worse. And that applies to everything, guys. Surround yourself with people that push and challenge you, because that's an incredible way to elevate your game in life and business. That said, the people you surround yourself with are playing small, they're going to drag you down to their level. Surround yourself with people who push you, who challenge you, who make you laugh, who make you better, who make you happy. You know, it's been said that your net worth is likely the average net worth of the 3 people closest to you. So if money is important to you, pay attention to that. Our peers, colleagues, and friends have a surprisingly large impact on how our lives unfold. If you hang around with people that gossip, complain, or like drama, that's what you're going to have in your life, and you'll become like them. You know, even if you've been stuck with the same friends for a long time, don't be afraid to branch out. You know, decide what the ideal version of yourself is, the person who you really want to become, and then find people that match that vision, match your vision. Even if you have to join, like I say, a network or join groups, actively choosing the people in your life will dramatically change your life. Now, if you haven't outgrown your friends, painful as that sounds, you're not growing. You know, proactively deciding who's going to be in your peer group is one of the most powerful ways I know to improve your performance and change your life. So that's the end of this module. I know it was long, but it was a very important module, and you should be proud of yourself for sticking with it. I know it was a lot, and I promise you it's all going to come together. Just stay with me. So in module 4, we're going to talk about creating deal flow, finding deals, where to find the best deals. I'll see you there.